Hey listeners, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. Today I'm chatting with Michael Hartle. This episode is part of our special Tech Toolbox 2019 series happening all this week to celebrate our 2019 bundle, the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox. You can learn more about this special bundle over at learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. Michael is the founder of Learn Enough and the best-selling author of 10 books, including the Ruby on Rails tutorial. He used to be an instructor in physics at the California Institute of Technology, where he received a Lifetime Achievement Award for excellence in teaching. He's also just a really kind and helpful guy. After our interview, he actually went out of his way to re-record an answer that he thought he could just do a better job of answering. In over 100 episodes of the show so far, no one has ever done this. And I think it just goes to show how tremendously thoughtful he is and how much he cares about helping people. Michael took part in last year's bundle, and he's back this year with 3 tutorials in one. His Learn Enough Developer Fundamentals includes tutorials for 3 important technical skills that all new coders need to know: the command line, text editor, and Git. In this interview, we talk about Michael's concept of learning enough of a skill to be dangerous, the foundational technology all beginners need to get grips with, and why it's important to know why you're learning to code. Enjoy. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Great to be here.
I'm really excited to have you on as a guest and, of course, to have you taking part of the second version of the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox. So excited to talk to you. And I want to dive right in. Could you tell us a bit about your background? Because I know that you've done a lot. When I was reading your bio, looking at your LinkedIn, you have all this varied experience. And I saw that you started out in physics. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I do have a background in physics. I studied physics as an undergrad and then got a PhD in theoretical astrophysics at Caltech. I worked mainly on calculating black hole orbits in the context of detecting gravitational waves. It was pretty cool. I got to know Stephen Hawking, who was a frequent visitor to campus while I was there, and I knew 2 out of the 3 physics Nobel Prize winners in 2017, including Kip Thorne, who was one of my mentors when I was a graduate student and postdoc. Ultimately, I decided to become an entrepreneur, but physics is still a subject I really enjoy paying attention to.
Yeah, so how did you end up getting into technology and entrepreneurship?
You know, when I was in graduate school, which was really cool, but I got interested in entrepreneurship. One of my friends at Caltech was also interested in maybe starting companies at some point. And it seemed like the kind of thing where it would give me a greater range of options to explore what you can do in life. And one of the influences around that time, this is like the early 2000s, was a series of essays written by Paul Graham, who went on to found Y Combinator with several other people. So that was a big influence on me to see someone who had started in academia. Paul went through a PhD program in computer science at Harvard and then branched out and became an entrepreneur. So I thought, okay, this is someone who made that transition. And I was interested in doing something similar.
And what was your first foray in the tech/startup world?
After grad school, the friend I mentioned and I started, of all things, a fantasy sports company. It was based on a model that actually ended up becoming very successful a few years later, as having sort of weekly fantasy sports games. And it was kind of a quirky thing to do, but it was quite challenging on the technology side, among other things, because this was early enough that there really weren't web frameworks. And so I had to kind of invent a bunch of stuff on my own. I ended up making kind of a half-baked version of the kind of thing you'd see with Django or Rails nowadays. And so that was kind of my first foray into entrepreneurship, was just doing something that was completely out of out of left field, in the sense it was very different from what I'd done before. But it was really interesting. Unfortunately, the environment at the time was a little perilous. Actually, the legal environment was sort of odd that fantasy sports has become this huge thing. But at the time, the unions for the players were actually suing fantasy sports companies for using the players' names without permission. So that was an introduction to one of the kind of things you run into in entrepreneurship, which is there are some risks that you simply can't anticipate.
Wow. So I have to ask, are you a big sports fan?
You know, the funny thing is I was, but I think I kind of got burned out on sports. I spent a couple of years just doing nothing but thinking about sports all the time. And every subsequent year, I become less and less involved. So when I was a kid, I was a huge NBA fan specifically. I grew up watching the Los Angeles Lakers and played basketball in high school. And so I was a big fan of basketball and then also NFL and Major League Baseball. But it's really been strange the last like 10, 15 years. I've slowly gotten less and less involved in sports to the point where now I hardly pay attention to it at all.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like if you were so, it was just consuming like your day 9 to 5 or even beyond 9 to 5 for that many years, it would probably be something you get a little burned out with. But yeah. I just know for so many folks, that's probably like a dream job, right? Like to work at a fantasy sports company and do a role related to that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm switching gears like totally right now and probably jumping ahead a few years or maybe. You're the author of the Ruby on Rails tutorial book, which is considered to be one of the leading introductions into web development. So, like, what led to this? Like, during this sports fantasy startup, after, how did you end up teaching people about Ruby on Rails?
Yeah, well, so I had to teach myself web development as part of doing this startup. And then I kind of had a circuitous path. A friend of mine was approached about writing a tutorial book on Ruby on Rails, which at the time was fairly new. He had been a pioneer of interactive websites back in the early days, literally in the 90s when the web was just emerging. And he was interested in partnering with me because he'd read some of my writing and wanted to have someone who had a little more writing experience to kind of shoulder the burden in terms of actually producing a book. And so I thought that would be a cool thing to do. And interestingly, that's not the Rails tutorial. That was a book that we called Railspace, kind of an obscure name, but it was essentially a Ruby on Rails tutorial in the very, very early days. And then a couple years later, I actually went through the Y Combinator program. So I mentioned Y Combinator. I used to Paul's first name, I kind of referred to him very casually. That's because I actually do know him. Although the people who know him best usually just call him PG for his initials. And so as part of that, my co-founder and I were kind of struggled to find something to work on within the program. And we ended up building an open source social network based on the Rails tutorial book that I'd written, which covered Rails by building a social network. But that company didn't work out for a variety of reasons. And then I found myself in a situation where I thought, okay, I've done a couple startups now. They both failed. Why don't I make a product company that isn't an all or nothing proposition? So I thought, what can I do that's really useful? Like what are the skills that are most crucial nowadays? Now, I'd actually had a lot of teaching experience in graduate school. I had a lot of success in the classroom teaching physics. And physics is a beautiful subject, but it's really not the most useful thing for most people. But I realized that web development specifically and computer technology generally was a really valuable and important field. And so I thought, well, wait a minute, I've already written a book on this subject. Why don't I write the same kind of book, just an updated version, and make a video series and then sell that from my own website? And that's what became the Ruby on Rails tutorial.
Wow, that's awesome. And going back a little bit, I'm really glad you clarified the Y Combinator bit, because I knew you had gone through that program, but I thought in my head when you were talking, it was for the fantasy sports company. I didn't realize that was actually before you even went through. So thanks for pointing that out.
The fantasy sports company actually predated Y Combinator. So I was following the emergence of Y Combinator through Paul's essays, and I watched it emerge. I was paying attention in 2005 when they did their first summer founders program. And so by the time I started the Y Combinator program in 2008, I felt like I was kind of late to the party, but I was not. That was early days. Like literally PG himself made our meals every week. He would actually cook for the group, which would not work today because they're, I don't know, they have like 100 companies per, per batch. grown, it's just grown tremendously. It's been amazing to watch how it's grown.
Yeah, that is such like an amazing early experience to have. And it's really funny just how things can evolve so much. Like, you said that was 2008. It's been over 10 years now? Wow.
Yeah, exactly. It's been over 10 years.
Wow. Yeah, I love like, I don't know, it's like planting seeds and you don't even realize sometimes how they're going to grow into trees and like affect you like later in life. It's really cool. Like just like with Learn to Code with Me, it was a blog I started just as a side thing. I can't even believe I'm doing it now full time, you know, like 6 years later. Cause really, and I say this all the time for people listening to the show, like when I started it, I can't emphasize how little thought was put into it. Like I just got I thought the name was cool. I got the domain. I started writing blog posts. I had no idea like where it was going, but anyway, and maybe you feel the same way actually with your Ruby on Rails tutorial because you still teach today and now you run Learn Enough. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, it sort of expanded. So one of the things that I noticed was that a lot of people were using the Ruby on Rails tutorial to learn web development, even though they weren't actually web developers, is one surprising observation. Another was that a lot of complete beginners were using it. And web development is actually pretty complicated subject. And so what I realized is that it would be nice to have tutorials for effectively the prerequisites to the Rails tutorial. So starting with really like the most foundational technologies and then moving all the way up through professional grade web development. So that was part of the motivation behind Learn Enough, which is now kind of the umbrella organization. And so it's a technology education company focused on web development and related skills. But it's a sort of more it's more flexible in terms of the subjects I can cover. The Ruby on Rails tutorial obviously is focused on web development with Rails, but Learn Enough is sort of a more generic kind of term. And in fact, I chose it so that it could be kind of a meta brand where I could have a Learn Enough. The idea is like Learn Enough X to be dangerous was the original thought, and I was actually en route to register learnenoughx.com and then discovered that learnenough.com was available, much to my surprise.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's a cool little story there.
People ask me how much I paid for the domain. I'm like, well, like whatever the registration fee, like $12 a year or whatever. So I just got lucky with the name. But so what's cool about that is I can slot in different subjects. And so for example, if there's a JavaScript tutorial, learn enough JavaScript to be dangerous. And a part of that is not only meta, but I like the idea of managing expectations. So if you learn JavaScript from something that's like the JavaScript tutorial, you might expect a 1,000-page book that covers everything about JavaScript, which the Rails tutorial had kind of created that expectation because it's like an 800-page book or whatever and covers a lot of Rails. So I wanted to be able to make shorter things while signaling to people that, look, this isn't going to cover absolutely everything, but it will get you started. You'll learn enough to be dangerous. So that way, it sort of gave me a way of framing a shorter, more focused tutorial that would just get people started on that subject, which is often all you need to get going.
Yeah. And I want to circle back to something you mentioned like a minute or so ago. You talked about these prerequisites to web development and how there were people taking your Ruby on Rails tutorial that were total beginners and maybe didn't have some of these prerequisites in place.
Yeah.
Could you talk a bit about what those things look like?
Sure. So the foundational technology I thought was going to be a text editor. So this is an application to write and edit plain text. And this is the sort of thing that if you're in tech, you know about this kind of application, but most people's frame of reference for editing text is like a word processor or maybe an email program. And so a text editor, though, is a very specific tool for editing unformatted text. So that means that you don't say that something is italicized by clicking on it and clicking a little icon that says I. Instead, there's some textual way to indicate that it's italicized. So for example, in HTML, you would put it inside of what are called M tags for emphasis or emphasized. So I thought that was going to be this foundational technology, but then I realized that I and most people I know launch a text editor from a command line. And so I realized, aha, the first technology that you need to learn if you're learning to code or learning to become a technical person is the Unix command line. So Unix being a family of operating systems for computers that is widely used on the internet and, you know, on pretty much every device you have that's not running Windows. So you're like a MacBook or an iPhone or Android. So that was how it started. And then I decided I was just going to march through and try to layer the different technologies, put them in an order that made the most sense for someone who is just approaching the subject for the first time, which as an educator was a really interesting challenge for me to be able to figure out, okay, how do I layer these things? How do I make them self-contained as possible, but also have them kind of be cross-referenced so that they build on each other as well?
Yeah. When you're chatting about this, I'm just thinking, because you have all this experience creating courses, you've taught in grad school, you have an insanely popular Ruby on Rails tutorial. How much time and effort goes into creating these courses that you're making today?
It is a lot. And I'm actually taking a break from course creation for a while. I'm going to be focusing on the sales and marketing side for Learn Enough and the Rails tutorial. I'll still be doing a lot of writing, but it's going to be more short form, things like blog posts, copywriting, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's the Rails tutorial itself was at least is like 6 to 9 months of just flat out effort.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like there's so much that goes in behind the scenes, whether it's creating a course or creating a book. And I think unless you kind of go through that process yourself, it's really hard to realize. Like I used to work at a company that was software for online courses. And so I was always around online courses and seeing different people's online courses. But then not until more recently when I started trying to do my own online courses and kind of put my toe into that world, I was like, oh my goodness, it is really difficult. It's just like a totally different kind of thought. I don't know. Like it's very different from podcasting or blogging, which was what I was really familiar with.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually. So I've got two co-founders for Learn Enough. The Rails tutorial was just on my own, but my co-founders, Nick Merwin and Lee Donahoe have developed an appreciation, especially Lee, for what I do. And so Lee is the co-author on Learn Enough HTML to be dangerous. And then was the lead author on a really remarkable tutorial that covers things that you really hardly see out there called Learn Enough CSS and Layout to be dangerous. And now the layout part there is actually not just laying out an individual page, but also laying out an actual real website. So for example, when you have across the top, you've got say a navigation menus, but if there are multiple pages, you don't want to be copying and pasting that menu. So how do you handle that? How do you have a single place where the menu lives and then somehow gets incorporated into the site? So the CSS and layout tutorial covers that kind of thing. But because I personally don't have much expertise in the way of CSS, or at least didn't before that tutorial, Lee took the lead on that. And every once in a while, he'd be working on it and he would pop up and say, all right, Michael, I really appreciate how hard the Rails tutorial must have been because this is really hard. Like writing is hard. Like figuring out like what do you cover? What is the order? How do you structure it? How do you come up with instructive examples that aren't too hard, but also aren't too easy. And it really is a challenge. It's the kind of thing that there's a kind of intensity. It's a really creative intensity that a lot of other work never really touches on.
Yeah. From my very brief experience trying it earlier this year, it is definitely different parts of my brain I feel like I have not been using before. As you mentioned, like thinking of really good examples to give, just how to order it, how to communicate it to a person. I am curious with Learn Enough, I know how the Rails tutorial is set up. Are you like, what's like the method of instruction? Is it text? Is it video? Is it a combination of things?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Learn Enough it's really based on books fundamentally. And then there are videos made from the books. So like I make these screencast videos from the books, but the screencasts aren't just what's in the book. So there are all these kinds of soft skills that are surrounding tech if you actually see someone do them, sometimes or oftentimes you'll realize how to do something that would be really hard to communicate in text. So for example, you see someone just using keyboard shortcuts on a video. And sometimes I actually will sometimes enable the actual display. There's in the screencast software, you can actually see what the keys are. So it'll be like Command T on to do something, to open a new tab or whatever. So that's the kind of thing that shows up in videos that isn't necessarily easy to communicate in text. And then for every one of the the book video combinations, we also have structured courses with progress tracking, a place to put in exercise answers, and then you can also compare your answers to other people who are taking the courses.
Okay, wow. So it has like a whole bunch of different things that you're using to help people learn. Yeah, across the board, the progress tracking, the exercise answers, comparing, that's really cool. Do you guys have like a forum or something as well?
Yeah, so as part of taking a course, you get access to a private Slack group that gives you a chance to interact with other people who are studying the same course you are.
Nice. And we've been talking about like Learn Enough a whole lot. And of course, for the bundle, one of the courses is your Learn Enough Developer Fundamentals course, which covers the command line, the text editor, and Git. And we did just talk about the command line text editor a bit. Could you talk a bit about Git in that course?
Sure. Well, I should mention that what's part of the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox is the ebooks and videos. So that the courses are a separate, the courses are like a subscription. This you can think of these three, the developer fundamentals, command line text editor, and Git, as being kind of your permanent technical library for these technologies. You can download them, you own them forever, you can't be cut off from them. So that, which is, I think, a nice thing. It's like there's a reassurance that it's not just going to go away. So these three technologies kind of work together. So command line is a way of issuing commands to the computer in a very flexible way that you can combine commands to do all kinds of interesting things. So for example, you can go through a text file, a long text file, and count the number of times a particular word appears really easily, which is like one line. The text editor then lets you edit text to write computer programs, to write HTML, to make a web page, and so on. But when I was making this series of tutorials, the third technology surprised me. I didn't realize just how foundational Git had become. So Git is relatively new. It's a program for tracking changes in software projects. It's the category of application is called version control. And I think it came out in like maybe 2007, 2008. It was definitely out in 2008 because that's when GitHub, which is a major site where people share their Git source code repositories, had their went public, had their sort of public availability. So I think Git was around in maybe 2007 or so. And it has become so foundational that you really can't do software development or anything that's adjacent to it without knowing some version control system. And Git is the one that I think is really won in almost all areas that I can see. So I can tell you a little bit about what's so great about Git is or version control generally, what you can do is track all your changes in a project. So you'll say add a section to one of your web pages, and then you can commit that change, which means you just assign that change to a tag, and it's a long string of characters. But the point is that change is now recorded essentially forever. And so if you ever want to go back and revert that change, you can. Essentially undo it. And you can also share changes with people who are working on the same project as you are, and which is incredibly valuable because it means that you can kind of break things up into pieces and then put them all together at the end of the day. One of the other things that's become really surprising with Git is that it has also become absolutely critical for deployment. So if you want to put something on the actual internet, Git is often the easiest way to do it. So, for example, if you want to publish a website, the easiest way to do it is to put your website under version control with Git and then publish it to one of the source code repository companies like GitHub or GitLab. And then there's just like a little configuration where you can make it available on the live web. So this is one of the things that you can do with Learn Enough that's pretty hard with some of the other ways of learning to code, some of the other resources out there, is that like literally at the end of the Git tutorial, Learn Enough Git to be Dangerous, you actually deploy a live website. It's sort of like almost by accident. Like, oh, wow, look at this. We've been trying, because you need some project to track changes in. And so I chose an HTML website, a very simple HTML website, and which leads into the next tutorial after that, that Learn Enough HTML to be Dangerous. Because that's kind of sneaky. Like you don't realize you're actually learning a lot of HTML while you're learning Git. But then at the end, I'm kind of giving away the surprise twist ending. You actually enable this website to be accessible on the live web so you can show it off to friends. And on the web app side of things, Git is also critical. So there's a website called Heroku that lets you deploy things like Rails applications, which is just amazing. You think, like, what does Git have to do with anything? And I'm actually not even sure exactly what it has to do with the way they do things, but it's almost like a miracle. Like, you can literally have a live web app working within a couple minutes of starting out, which when I was starting out with web apps, like, was just an impossible goal.
Yeah, wow. So correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like these three topics that are covered, command line, text editor, Git, and are those the order that you suggest people go through them in?
For sure, yeah. The order is important. Each tutorial relies on the previous ones as prerequisites, but no other prerequisites. So command line does not require that you even know what a command line is. If you know how to use a computer, if you can install software on your computer, if you know how to use the web, then you can learn the command line with the LearnNative command line. But then text editor only assumes that you know command line, and again, doesn't even assume you know what a text editor is, and similarly with Git. But the ordering is important, but other than that, the sequence is completely self-contained. And part of what's great about this sequence is that it's like antecedent to so many other things, that there are these foundational technologies that if you want to build websites, you should know command line, text editor, Git. If you want to build web applications, if you want to do data science, it's almost no matter what you do, you're going to have to learn these technologies. And so what that means is it's not only useful for people who want to learn to code, but they're also really useful for anyone who works with people who code. So project managers, say the co-founders of technology startups who just want to know how to talk tech with the people who are working with them.
Yeah, you kind of answered like what I want my next question to be already, but I'm so glad you pointed that out, because I want to talk about that, how these technologies are like, can be for anyone that is working in tech, working with people in tech. So project managers, product managers, people who work at startups, you mentioned data related fields. I'm sure also like DevOps, cybersecurity, business intelligence, you know, they're all, some of those are kind of related, but yeah, it's like a really great foundation for anyone who wants to work in tech, and regardless kind of what their exact role and responsibilities will be. So I have one final question that I really want to get to, because you have so much experience in entrepreneurship and technology and teaching people, and you've taught tons of people like over the years. If someone's listening to this right now and they're just starting out, like they don't know what the command line is, they don't know anything, what is like the most important piece of advice you could give them for learning how to code?
I would say that it's important to know why you want to learn how to code. So whenever you're approaching one of these technologies, it's a good idea to just, even if it's kind of vague, have some idea of what you might want to do with it. It could be something as simple as, I want to get a job in technology. But better yet, it would be, I think it's a good idea to have some sort of project that you personally would like to see brought to life. And I think that one of the things that that LearnEnough as a whole sequence really tries to emphasize is this idea of shipping, of actually shipping some sort of product. It can be as simple as having a Git repository on the web, but better yet, have a website that you actually put out there and can show to people. So if you have some sort of goal in mind, it will help give you some structure and like a framework for what you're learning, for the subject you're learning. And so what you can do is, as you're, sometimes a lot of this stuff is difficult, right? You'll get kind of stuck on things and you think, okay, I'm going to power through this because I want to make something. And that will get you through. And it also lets you integrate what you're learning. You think, okay, how would this be useful? It's like, oh, I just learned how to make a website on the internet. Okay, well, that's useful. Like, I've got some ideas for some things I want to put on the internet, and now I know how to do it. And so by having some sort of goal in mind, it helps you figure out, basically it helps you keep motivated. It helps you figure out, how are you going to apply what you're learning to something that you actually care about?
Perfect. Well, thank you so much again, Michael, for coming on the show. It's great to have you here. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter, I think is probably where I'm most active. It's M Hartl. I'm like M Hartl pretty much everywhere, M-H-A-R-T-L. So on Twitter, on GitHub, Hacker News, various other places. You can also find my websites at learnenough.com and railstutorial.org. Those are the sort of the two main product websites. I also have a personal website. That's not a whole lot there right now at michaelhartle.com.
Great. Thank you again for coming on.
It's great being here. Really excited to see how this goes.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Michael. Again, you can check out his product, Learn Enough Developer Fundamentals, inside our 2019 bundle sale, which you can learn more about over at learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. Inside the bundle, you're going to get 33 top-notch tech and coding products contributed by 21 expert tech course creators. It spans so many topics and truly has a little something for everyone. Altogether, the products are worth $4,299. Yes, you heard that right. But for this week only, you can get them for 94% off. Here's the thing though, the bundle sale is happening for a limited time. It's going to be ending on Saturday, May 4th, 2019 at midnight Eastern Time. Seriously, the clock is running, people. Again, here's where you can go to learn more. learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. That URL is all one word. Now, if you're listening to this episode in the future, when the sale is over, make sure to sign up for the Learn to Code with Me newsletter so you can stay on top of special course offerings just like this. You can sign up for our email list over on our website, learntocodewith.me. All right, folks, I'll catch you tomorrow in the next special series episode.